come today and being able to be part of this very good service. I want to also just appreciate the worship team and especially the KP team for such an excellent job of being able to lead us in worship. I don't know if you're like me, but the young lady, her name is Wateria. She was dancing. I came to realize something. I think I have seen many ballerinas, but I think that's the first time I've seen one in real life. All the others have always been on TV or in some movie or something, but never actually in real life. And I happen to have gone to school and done a bit of some physics. So I was wondering, okay, how much kilos is she exerting per square centimeter? And I actually did a quick calculation. It was about 2.5 kilos per square centimeter. That's the kind of thing that I was just wondering, oh, wow, that is a lot of effort. Yeah. But that is just amazing. Karibuni sana. At this moment, it also gives me great pleasure to invite all of you who are joining us via live stream, or rather having with us via live stream. It's always a pleasure. Please go ahead and comment on my site and just be able to tell us where you are where you're watching us from. And if maybe you've just stumbled on our channel for the very first time, please go ahead and sign at the bottom and be able to click on subscribe. We want people to have as many of you subscribe and also tap on the bell so that you can be able to get a little bit of our messages from time to time and any time they are up on screen. Pastor John, karibu sana. Yes, it's very good to be able to see. Yes, you can go ahead and appreciate Pastor John. Many moons ago, when I came to Mamlaka Hill Chapel, she happened to have given me a major boost in confidence by saying that I can actually be able to go on and do the ministry of children here at Mamlaka Hill Chapel. And a number of years have passed by. It's actually 10 years. Yes, time really flies. And it's so good to be able to see you. It was wonderful to have Pastor Tim with us the other week. And so it's really good to be able to see you today. We come to the last of the series we have been doing in the book of Jonah. And Jonah has been wonderful. We've had actually about today happens to be the sixth of the sermon that we've been having here at Mamlaka Hill Chapel around the book of Jonah. And we are going to be looking at the book of Jonah, chapter 4, the entire chapter, and be able to just find out a few things that God is telling us in these chapters. And chapter 4 is very important because it kind of gives you an idea about what the book is all about. Just the other day, I was thinking about the book of Jonah, and I couldn't help but remember an old song that we used to hear on radio. It used to go, Jonah, Jonah, Ali Tubukweli. Yeah, that basically just aged me at that very moment because... some guys are like, oh, there was such a song. Yes, there was such a song. Yes. Melieni pata nini? Yeah, I can't even remember the beat. But yes, it did happen. And Jonah is not just about him being swallowed by a fish and then him being spat out. But Jonah is actually a story about God and his love for people. And today we want to be able to go in and look at the whole area of God and his understanding of fairness, or God and fairness. And before I go a little bit too far, I want to start off by asking, is there anybody in our congregation today? You went to high school, but you never did any of the following. You were never a prefect. You are never a DH captain. You are never a house captain. You are never a member of any committee. You went to high school to learn. Quisha, no other business. You went to high school and that's all that you did. You did not hold any office of any kind. You just went to high school and you survived high school. Do I have anybody of that nature among us today? Ah, yes, I can see a gentleman over. You did that. You did not have any office of any kind. No head boy, no nothing. Please come, tafadhali. Do come. Do, please come. Come, 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 come. Yes. This gentleman understood the whole issue of going to school. It was to go and not use your father's school fees, but to go and study. How are you, sir?
I'm fine.
What is your name?
My name is James Ogutu.
James Ogutu. Yes. So we just want to be clear. You are not a member of any committee?
Not one.
Prefect?
Not even a
prefect. Head boy?
Not an head.
DH captain?
None.
Hey, okay. Very good. Sasawa, you survived high school. And that is the most important thing. Now, let me ask. Do we have anybody among us? You are the super overachiever. DH captain? Whatever. And actually, let me even put a clincher. You even probably appeared in the newspaper in high school. Yani, do we have... don't be modest. If you did it, you did it. if you haven't even actually, you even appeared in the newspaper. Do I have any such super achiever among us? No need to be modest. Go ahead. Head boy, head girl. We must have. Ah, yes, you have a brave soul over there. Please do come. Yeah, thank you. Please come, come, my good sir. You are a major. We want to find out about who you are. Please come on this side. So I'd like to ask you to introduce yourself. What's your name?
Good morning.
Good morning.
My name is Arthur Kenneth Omai. I was a head. I was a dining hall captain. I was head of all clubs.
Okay.
I was also the deputy school captain. I also appeared in the newspaper when.
Yes. This does not happen every day. This does not happen every day. You are also in the newspaper.
When the current president came to a fundraising when I was in high school back in the day.
Okay.
Then he was the Minister of Finance.
Good one. Asante sana. Your name again?
Arthur Omai.
Very good. So, your name, sir?
James.
Very good. In appreciation of the fact that you went, by the way, same situation. Yeah. In appreciation of the fact that you went to school, you spent your father's school fees properly by going to school and you passed, which is the important thing. I'd like to give you a voucher of 500 Kenya shillings from one of our supermarkets to actually be able to use it for whatever purposes you want to use it for. Asante sana. Here you are.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Stay on. And Arthur, wow. In appreciation of all that you have done, I'd like people to give you a voucher, again, of 500 Kenya shillings. I like what has happened. Thank you very much. Okay, thank you. You may be seated. I think I've been able to achieve what I wanted by virtue of the fact that there was a collective disappointment in the whole church. As a result of both of them being able to get the same amount when it came to the voucher. But I couldn't help but think about the way we view our world. And the world in general is that we view and we always expect to be able to reward people who have achieved. And it's important to be able to reward and be able to remember people who have achieved greatness. I think just this week, with the passing on of Mr. Bob Collymore, a lot of tribute has been given towards him. But there's something also that I want to be able to bring out today, which has actually been very important for all of us as we look at the book of Jonah. And that is how God views us, all of us. That is there a way in which God views me because I am a pastor? And maybe the way he views you just by virtue of you being a congregant and not holding any office in the church. And what is God's understanding of fairness? Because it's important for us to be able to look at that, because I think at the end of it all, that is what the book of Jonah is trying to bring out. Now, if we look at chapter 3 from verse 10, the Bible says this, and we'll flow into chapter 4. My Bible says, I'm reading from the ESV version. When God saw what they did, the Ninevites, how they turned from their evil ways, God relented of the disaster that he had said you do to them, and did not do it, but it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was angry. And he prayed to the Lord and said, O Lord, is this not what I said when I was yet in my country? That is why I made haste to flee from Tarshish. For I knew that you are a gracious God and a merciful God, slow to anger and abounding in love, in steadfast love, and relenting from disaster. Therefore now, O Lord, please take my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. That forms the first part of our subject today, which is Jonah's understanding of fairness. Now, Jonah can be able to, here in a sense, we get an understanding of why Jonah fled. Jonah did not flee away from the Lord because he did not understand that he had a mandate and a mission from God. Jonah fled from the Lord's presence because he simply could not be able to bring himself to a place where he could actually be able to go to the Ninevites and be able to preach God's word. The Ninevites were enemy number one. They could not be people, he could not be able to bring himself to a place of being able to say, are these people that I can actually be able to associate with? I can tell you for a fact where I was on August 7th, 1998. I was in my office, it was the last day of school, and I was busy preparing report forms so that we could be able to give them to the children so they could go home. I used to be a primary school teacher. And at about 11 o'clock, the window to my office suddenly shut. And I remember remarking, who's that boy or the child playing with the windows? About 10 minutes later, we started seeing parents coming into the school at a breakneck speed. We wondered, what is going on? And they said a bomb had gone off in town. At that time, the U.S. embassy used to be smack in the middle of town. And for the very first time, we got introduced to the spectra of terror. And if you are any Kenyan, you'll know that terror has become a part of our everyday lives. And to a large extent, it's been able to introduce us to things that we never used to have to deal with, like being frisked all the time. People checking up on us and finding out what are we carrying in our bags. Almost an infringement into our freedoms. And that happens. And to a large extent, as a result of where we are, we have come to be able to associate terror more so with our people from the neighbor, that is our Somali brothers. And each and every one of us in one way or another can be able to relate to one way or another being a little bit uncomfortable, especially when there's been an attack, when we are in the presence of a Muslim brother or sister. We are not exactly sure what is going to happen. And that happens because of the fact that that's where we are. It is our space. We actually know people who have actually suffered and actually lost their lives as a result of what? Of terror. It's a part of our everyday lives. So for Jonah, he is actually in the same place. Nineveh happens to be a major threat to the nation of Israel. And Jonah, being a good prophet of God, knows that God cannot be able to tolerate evil. And at one time or another, he is going to visit his punishment upon any group of people who practice evil. And so that is why when he's given the message to go out to Nineveh and preach God's word so that the nation can be able to relent, what does he do? He runs away. He goes in the opposite direction. Now, a lot of theologians have not been sure about the distance or where Tarshish exactly was, but conservative estimates say it is 2,500 kilometers to the west. Whereas of Israel, whereas Nineveh was only 500 kilometers in the east. So going to Nineveh was a much easier task than going to Tarshish. Going to Tarshish was actually it was not that easy because people had to travel by ship. And sometimes movements were very unpredictable. So Jonah basically wants to sabotage God's plan in terms of being able to bring God's word to the people of Nineveh. And why is Jonah angry? Jonah is angry because of something else. Ironically, he has been very successful at his mission, even though he did not want to be successful. What happened? He went, he preached, and you know what happened? The people of Nineveh believed God. And because they believed God, what happened? They turned their lives around. And Jonah looks at that and he says, this is the reason why I did not want this to happen. Lord, I know. Because you are a merciful God, you are a loving God, and I knew this was going to happen. That is why I did not want to come and preach God's word to these people. It's akin to being successful at something. You know, not too long ago, I happened to have had a breakfast meeting somewhere. And generally speaking, you know that sometimes in the morning, there's always a lot of traffic. So what do? You give yourself a lot of buffer to know that you are to arrive at your breakfast meeting on time. On this one day on Thika Road, it was clear. So I happened to have arrived at my meeting a little bit too early than I intended. And I was like slightly angry, ironic that I was actually early for a meeting that I did not want to be late for. So yeah, you kind of get the contradiction. But I mean, that's akin to what is happening to Jonah, only at a much bigger scale. And so Jonah is not happy. Because his understanding of fairness is that fairness, or rather God's grace, is only for a specific group of people. But what does the Bible tell us in Matthew chapter 5, verse 43? Jesus, when teaching about matters of loving friends and also loving enemies, he says, "You have heard it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your Father in heaven. He causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous." So at the end of the day, we need to have a different perspective about God, that God loves people. But at the end of the day, regardless of what the person's life looks like, regardless of some of the prejudices we may have towards the person, at the end of it all, God loves people. And that is something we need to be able to remember and understand clearly, that God loves people. And once you understand that God loves people, then we'll have a different perspective of how he deals with them. Because why is Jonah also angry? Jonah is also being angry by virtue of the fact that he's being ignorant of something that is actually that has happened to him. In Jonah chapter 2, his prayer was an expression of submission to God, greater than him, in which he said, "Lord, save me," when he was in the fish. And for 3 days and three nights, all that Jonah was doing was he was pleading his case to the Lord and saying, "Lord, would you save me from this place where I am? I am in a place where I am going to die." But God, and what does God do? God hears his prayer and God is able to save him. Jonah is angry that God has shown compassion to the people of Nineveh. Yet Jonah is not reconciled to the fact that he himself is a recipient of God's mercy. God is going to be true to his revelation as a God who is kind and compassionate, slow to anger, and abounding in love to all of us. And what is the message for us at this moment? It is a great privilege for you to come to church this morning. It is a great privilege that you even have an opportunity to be able to come and be able to interact with God. It's good. It's wonderful. But at the end of it all, it is also dangerous to be able to think that this is a privilege only for you. Ours, as I always say from time to time, is always to take God's message and God's goodness to a world out there that is in need of Christ. It's important for us to be able to remember that. And that is why we also do what we do by being able to transmit these services live on YouTube. Why? Because at the end of the day, we want to ask you who's watching this message to also be able to connect with a God who loves you and cares for you deeply wherever you may be on the face of this earth. And that is our call, that indeed need to have a perspective, because Jonah's perspective is a little bit wrong. But secondly, God objects Jonah's understanding of fairness. Chapter 4, verse 4, the Bible says, "And the Lord said, do you do well to be angry?" In Kiswahili, Jonah, mbona umejam namna hii? You know, literally, God is literally coming to him. He's asking, "Jonah, why are you so angry? What's up?" And Jonah actually goes ahead and does something even more interesting. Jonah went out of the city, sat on the east side of the city, and made a booth for himself there. He sat under it in the shade so he could see what would become of the city. If Jonah was living in modern day times, he would have actually had the cameras ready so that he could actually be able to transmit what is about to happen to the city. Because deep inside, he can't actually believe the Ninevites have changed. Surely, God is still going to rain disaster on this city. I need to be able to report back to my people that the great city of Nineveh is no more. And now the Lord God appointed a plant and made it come up over Jonah, that it might be a shade over his head to save him from his discomfort. You know, sometimes it's very interesting how God operates. That even in a place of great disobedience, and even though Jonah is in a place where he is sitting so that he can be able to watch disaster come upon this land, God's grace is still upon him. You know, God is amazing. Because what does he do? Ancient Near East, or rather the Middle East, is generally a very hot place. You do not want to be under the sun. And so even though Jonah has made a shade for himself, what God does is that he goes ahead and provides a plant to be able to give him some shade. And Jonah was exceedingly glad because of the plant. That is verse 6. Verse 7 goes on to say, But when dawn came up the next day, God appointed a worm that attacked the plant so that it withered. When the sun rose, God appointed a scorching east wind, and the sun beat down on the head of Jonah so that he was faint. And he asked that he might die and said, "It is better for me to die than to live." So what is it that God does? God appoints, or rather wants people to teach Jonah an object lesson. And the object lesson is this. On one hand, Jonah is exceedingly angry because God has spared the city of Nineveh. On this other hand, what does he do? Even in a place of disobedience, of trying to look out for a place whereby the city can be destroyed, God provides a plant for it, for Jonah to be able to sit under its shade. And Jonah is enjoying that place. But when a worm comes and destroys that plant, Jonah is exceedingly angry because a plant has died. How long did the plant last for? Or for how long did it come up? 24 hours. How long do you think the city of Nineveh had taken to be created? A pretty long time. It takes a long time to be able to come up with a city. So how can Jonah on one hand be so angry about a city being spared, yet at the same time be so angry about a plant which sprouted, grew, and then it died? You see, God is concerned about people more than possessions. And from time to time, what will happen is that God's blessings are always with us, and he'll always give them to us. But also sometimes God will indeed cause us to hunger. He'll cause us to hunger so that we can be able to know that man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. And Jonah's difficulty is for him to be able to understand that, yes, you are experiencing great difficulty at this moment. I am the one who has caused it. But guess what? You want a greater calamity to be able to come upon a whole city which I've had mercy on. You are so angry to the point where you actually want to die. Jonah is facing a massive personal crisis because of the things have not gone according to his plan. He is still not understanding just what God is. That God is a God of justice, but also is a God of great mercy. And I think that's one of the places you need to be always be aware of. That our call as Christians is not to be selfish. Our call as Christians is always to be ready to give of ourselves, to give of our time, to give of our resources, to give of our energy so that the world can be able to know God. Why were these children in front of us today? Because during the entire month of August, they are going to be in Germany trying to tell people about Jesus Christ. It is a worthwhile investment. It is a good investment. And it is an investment that we need to be able to make here at Mamlaka Hill Chapel on a constant basis. That yes, we need to be able to give so that the gospel can go forward. It's very important. It is important that we are a people that are able to share our resources from time to time with others. Because at the end of the day, our life is not really about us. You know, one of the things that always tests us greatly about our faith is difficult moments. And all of us can be able to attest of moments whereby we have enjoyed God's goodness and mercy, and sometimes difficulties come. And when difficulties come, what happens is immediately we forget that God still loves us. And we may not say, "Lord, I would like to die," but there are moments actually we have some serious beef with God because God has not been able to meet us, or things have not gone as we hoped they would go. That sometimes these things happen. And when these things happen, it is good to always encourage ourselves in the Lord. But also when these things happen, we are actually being reminded that at the end of the day, yes, our things may disappear. A job can go. Business can collapse. But at the end of it all, the most important and critical thing is always to remember that at the end of the day, what matters and what really matters at the end of it all are people. And today I am talking to many aspiring and people who are successful in their places of work and business. And sometimes successes that we enjoy in our everyday lives have also come at a great expense, sometimes to family, friends, and relationships. I want us to be able to take away something today. that God has a higher perspective and a higher regard for people. May I also encourage you today to do something else. Be also involved in some of the, in your community. And sometimes it's not very easy because I know that out there in the wild, sometimes people don't fight fair. People fight hard. People seem to be always angry. I happen to be a member of my residence association, and it's always weird, man. People are angry all the time. One minute they are praising you for all the developments that are happening. The next minute they're so angry because there's no, you know, it's taking too long to put a drainage or something. You know what happens in resident associations, eh? It's always hard. Maybe you are in your place of, you're a board member somewhere. At the end of it all, you sometimes are Jesus. You are the only person whom they can be able to relate to and be able to say, yes, this is the Lord. Why are so many of us today able to enjoy the gospel? We are able to enjoy the gospel because Peter had his prejudices broken down by God. Because Peter actually thought that the gospel only belonged to the Jews. But what is it that God tells him? God tells him that what is unclean is now clean. That the gospel could now be able to go out to all people. And today I want to be able to say the gospel is available for all people, even those people whom you do not like and who have offended you. I have breaking news for you. Somebody is going to offend you this week. And you know what? You are also going to offend somebody this week. And sometimes you're going to do it completely unknowingly. You know why? Because we live in a fallen world. That just happens in our world. And sometimes it's good not to be able to put things too, don't put some things too close to your heart. There's a video clip that has been going around attributed to His Excellency, the Governor of Uasin Gishu. And he's been talking about the whole issue of how to be able not to put political matters too close to the heart. Because sometimes when you take some political matters too close to your heart, you end up being left holding, I don't know, the Israeli word, natokomata. I don't know how to translate that into English. You're left at the lights. That political allegiances change all the time. And because political allegiances change all the time, don't hold on to things what? Too hard. Because today people change. People who are enemies become friends. People who are friends become enemies. People who are in this party change to this party. And you're so like, yeah, my party. Then you're like, oh no, the party moved. Or the owners of the party moved and you are left in a shell all by yourself. Yeah. Yes. Tuachokwa mata. So let us recognize the fact that at the end of it all, the thing that really, really matters in life is people. And I think that is what Jonah needs to be aware of. Jonah is angry that a plant has died because it was giving him shade. Jonah needs to know that, you know, at the end of it all, the critical thing is that God loves people. Previously, Jonah wanted to die because God has saved the city. Now he wants to die because a plant that grew up overnight has died. He is using his passions a bit too loosely. He needs to be able to focus on something that he really wants to die for. How about being able to die so that people can actually be able to know God? So there is an understanding of Jonah in terms of what is fairness. There is God teaching Jonah, this is actually how you should view people, that people are more important. And to God, all people matter. Verse 9. But God said to Jonah, do you do well to be angry for the plant? The same question again. And he said, yes, I do well to be angry. Angry enough to die. This is Jonah saying. And the Lord saying, you pity the plant for which you did not labor. You did not make it grow. Which came into a night and perished in a night. Verse 11, where I want us to focus. And should I not pity Nineveh, that great city in which there are more than 120,000 people who do not know their right and from their left, and also much cattle. So why did God ask this? God asked this to show Jonah how misplaced his values were. And there are two observations. That Jonah cared more about his personal comfort than the comfort of the people of Nineveh. that Jonah cared more for a plant that grows one day and is gone instead of people. And God needs to be able to tell Jonah to be more compassionate. And I think that is where we are called upon, compassion. Because the first step towards being compassionate is to dehumanize people. Because once you dehumanize a person, then you can be selfish and you can do anything that you want to do. As a community, I know one of the biggest challenges that we have is matters pertaining maybe to tribalism. I know it easily divides us, especially every election cycle. How about actually if you're able to know that at the end of it all, if you really get to know people, you'll be very surprised that sometimes the people who really care about you deeply are not even your family. It is sometimes your neighbor. It is sometimes the person who you have no regard for. Those are the people that really rally up around you in moments of great difficulty. I want to be able to conclude by saying the following. Jonah, by virtue of being an Israelite, may have over time come to a place of taking his position as a right that only he deserved. People born into privilege and all trappings of life sometimes get to assume that their position is something that they have earned over time. And that was the reason why I had the illustration at the beginning of the sermon. How about being able to get somebody who, yes, went to school, may not have been a head boy, may not have been a prefect, may not have held any office, but at the end of it all, went to school. I know that gentleman because actually he went even to university. But the critical thing is that in a generous mood, I gave him a voucher. And we have a gentleman who also has achieved quite a bit, and that is good. And in human terms, it's always good to be able to say, how about if you're able to give the person who has achieved so much more? In the economy of God, this is how things operate. Things operate in such a way that God does not regard the effort and the work that we put in the vineyard as something to be credited to us. No, it is expected of us. Because in God's economy, at the end of it all, we are all paid the same. So whether you've been a Christian all your life or somebody comes to Christ on their deathbed, in matters of eternity, we are essentially the same. Last but not least, Jonah is an imperfect shadow of the Messiah who takes the good news of God's mercy to undeserving people like those of Nineveh. Romans chapter 3, verse 23. It says, for while we're still sinners, Christ did what? Christ died for us. And the most famous verse of all, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. But what kind of world did Jesus come to? He came to a world that was imperfect, a world that was full of sin. And in the fullness of time, God has in Jesus Christ brought salvation to all of us. Jonah is an imperfect prophet who preached an imperfect message and which resulted in people actually turning to God. How much more Jesus Christ? How much more he who was perfect? He who was actually able to go on the cross of Calvary and die for us. So at the end of it all, as we finish the service, I think that is a critical thing that we want to be able to get out of here, but also want to go out and become people that can be able to serve Christ. As we come to the end of this series on Jonah, I want us to pray. And I want us to be able to pray first and foremost to ask the Lord for forgiveness for some of our prejudices. That because even as Christians, we hold sometimes very nasty prejudices against other people. And we see them undeserving of God's mercy and God's grace. Secondly, we can also be able to pray for courage. Courage to be able to go and continue to be ministers of the gospel, even in places where we feel that we have been offended. Because the Ninevites, for Jonah's case, they were a nasty people. But Jonah, and through the eyes of God, needs people to know that God still loves them. For those of you who are watching this via live stream, maybe you have stopped coming to church because you felt offended and maybe something happened. May I please encourage you to please join a faith community around you. Because at the end of it all, That is the most important thing. Maybe you're watching this live stream and as a result of travel and many other things. And I'd like to also ask you that maybe if you're traveling a little bit too much, this could also be a season to think a little bit, hey, wait a minute. Could I be achieving the whole world at an expense that ought not to be? I want people to encourage you to please find a faith community around you. But at this moment, I want us to pray. Let's bow our heads. Dear God, we as your people, we have come. And the testimony for a number of guys is that I am Jonah. Imperfect, sometimes selfish, and looking only to myself. I pray, Jehovah God, for your goodness and your mercy, which surpasses all understanding, to come and envelop us and be with us. For some of us, Jehovah God, we can actually be able to testify that we've suffered because of other people, and we do not feel the desire to be able to bring God's counsel and God's goodness to these same people when they are in need of God. Lord, would you open our eyes to be able to see people as you see them? Because the Bible says you send your rain upon the evil and also upon the good. But Lord, also want to pray. You'd continue to give us courage, even those of us who continue with the work of being able to spread the gospel. And maybe sometimes we almost feel like giving up because people are people. Lord, help us again to be able to see people as you see them. And Lord, also season our mouths with salt, where maybe we have used derogatory language against other people. Sometimes we almost do it without even thinking about it. Help us, my Father and my God, to know that from time to time, we are also foreigners in a foreign land. And we need to be gracious to all people. But ultimately, help us, Jehovah God, to spread the gospel far and wide, both to friends and foe. For it is in Jesus' name we do pray and believe. Amen and amen.